Coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Father John Martinez will join us at 8 o'clock this morning, Central Time. Mark Glenn will come up at 9 o'clock this morning, Central Time. Both of these gentlemen will be doing their usual thing on Fridays with me in regard to covering the major events and stories of the day. All kinds of things that we can talk about in the first hour of the show. Paul Craig Roberts has a new piece entitled, U.S.-Israel Policy Harms Both Countries, quote-unquote, no American president can stand up to Israel. These words came from Feisty Admiral Thomas Moore, the Chief of Naval Operations and Chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff from 1970 to 1974. Moore was perhaps the last independent-minded American military leader. Admiral Moore knew what he was talking about, according to Paul Craig Roberts. On June 8, 1967, Israel attacked the American intelligence ship USS Liberty, killing 34 American soldiers and wounding 173. The Israelis even strafed the life rafts, machine-gunning the American sailors leaving the stricken ship. Apparently, the USS Liberty had picked up Israeli communications that revealed Israel's responsibility for the Six-Day War. Even today, history books and the majority of Americans blame the conflict on the Arabs. The United States Navy knew the truth, but the President of the United States took Israel's side against the American military and ordered the U.S. Navy to shut its mouth. President Lyndon Johnson said it was all just a mistake. Later in life, Admiral Moore formed a commission and presented the unvarnished truth to Americans. The power of the Israel lobby over American foreign policy is considerable. In March of 2006, two distinguished American scholars, John Mearsheimer and Stephen Walt, expressed concern in the London Review of Books that the power of the Israel lobby was bending U.S. foreign policy in directions that serve neither U.S. nor Israeli interests. The two experts were hoping to start a debate that might rescue the U.S. and Israel from unsuccessful policies of coercion that are intensifying Muslim hatred of Israel and America. The Israel lobby was opposed to any such reassessment and attempted to close it off with epithets, Jew-baiter, anti-Semitic, and even anti-American. Today, Israeli citizens who oppose Zionist plans for greater Israel are denounced as anti-Semites. Many Americans are unaware of the influence of the Israeli lobby. Instead, they think of the U.S. as the world's sole superpower, a macho new Roman Empire whose orders are obeyed without question, or the insolent non-entity is, quote, bombed back into the Stone Age, unquote. Many Americans are convinced that military coercion serves our interest. They cite Libya, Serbia, Afghanistan, and Iraq, and now they are ready to bring Iran and Pakistan to heel with bombs. Paul Craig Roberts says that this arrogance results in the murder of tens of thousands, perhaps hundreds of thousands of men, women, and children, a fate that many Americans seem to believe is appropriate for countries that do not accept U.S. hegemony. Coercion is what American foreign policy has become. Macho super patriots love it. Many of these superpowers derive vicarious pleasure from their delusions that America is, quote, kicking those sand N-I-G-G-E-R's A-S-S-E-S's. Unquote. This is the America of the Bush regime. As some of these super patriots had their way, every, quote, unpatriotic terrorist supporter, unquote, who dares to criticize the war against the Islamofascists would be sent to Gitmo, if not shot on the spot. These Bush supporters have morphed the Republican Party into the Brown Shirt Party. They cannot wait to attack Iran, preferably with nuclear weapons. Impatient for Armageddon, some are so full of hubris and self-righteousness that they actually believe that their support for evil means by they will be wafted up to heaven. It has come as a crippling blow to Democrats that their political party is comfortable with Bush's America and will do nothing to stop the Bush regime's aggression against the Iraqi people or prevent the Bush regime's attack on Iran. We'll be back. This is Mark Dankoff, America, reading a bit of Paul Craig Roberts' piece today entitled U.S.-Israel Policy Harms Both Countries. Mark Dankoff's America will be back live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network with Father John Martinez at 8 and Mark Glenn at 9. Stay tuned.
The ideology powering the Democrats and Republicans is not liberalism or conservatism, but globalism. Globalists are concerned with what's good for big business and the American empire instead of what's fair for the American people. The only antidote to the poison of globalism is nationalism. Start reading the Nationalist Times each month. The Nationalist Times promotes a common sense, intelligent, and passionate alternative to the reigning party line. Published monthly since 1985, the Nationalist Times is a 20-page newspaper featuring outstanding writers and columnists who don't believe in taboos or sacred cows. Be one of the many thousands of loyal readers of the Nationalist Times. Subscribe now to the Nationalist Times. Just $19 for 1 year. That's 50% off the regular price. Send your $19 subscription to the Nationalist Times, P.O. Box 426, Allison Park, PA 15101. That's the Nationalist Times, P.O. Box 426, Allison Park, PA 15101. Or subscribe online at our website, www.anu.org.
We've all considered solar power at one time or another, and self-sufficiency will be your key to a better future. Ken Solar can help you get off the grid and become self-sufficient with solar power, and for a lot less than you would think. One of Ken's most popular items right now is the new solar power generator for a lot less than you'd expect. This portable system can chop off nearly a third of your electric bill, a good start for any families out there wanting to get solar power for your home. Visit Ken's website at kensolar.com for free downloads, free videos, and how-tos, and of course, the new solar power generator. Use the coupon code RBN with your purchase and save an additional 10% off your order. Get a solar power generator now from kensolar.com at 239-677-3073. Again, that's 239-677-3073 or on the web at kensolar.com. Ken Solar, the home of all your solar needs.
Stand up and be counted. Catholic priest calls for Christians to resist Bush's impending unjust attack against Iran. George W. Bush lied to the world to get the backing of the American people to attack Iraq. Now he is lying to the world to get the backing of the American people to attack Iran. The Catholic and Protestant clergy have failed miserably to come out publicly against the upcoming unjust attack of Iran. Therefore, the lay Catholics and Protestants should demand of their respective clergies to take a righteous public stand against this upcoming Iranian unjust war. Each one of us will render to God a strict account of what each of us did to stop these diabolical tyrants, like George W. Bush, who, as roaring lions, go about the world seeking whom to murder. For additional facts concerning this upcoming Iranian unjust war, order the one-hour lecture by Father John Martinez entitled Stand Up and Be Counted. Just go to www.republicbroadcasting.org and click on the web banner for more information and ordering.
Mark Dankos, America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Father John Martinez joins us at 8 o'clock this morning. Mark Glenn will be up at 9. So we're back to an interesting news story this Faithful Friday. Reading from Paul Craig Roberts on how U.S.-Israel policy harms both countries. You can find this particular post by Dr. Roberts at antiwar.com. He says that it has come as a crippling blow to Democrats that their political party is comfortable with Bush's America and will do nothing to stop the Bush regime's aggression against the Iraqi people or to prevent the Bush regime's attack on Iran. The Democrats could easily impeach both Bush and Cheney in the House, as impeachment only requires a majority vote. They could not convict in the Senate without Republican support, as conviction requires ratification by two-thirds of senators present. Nevertheless, a House vote for impeachment would take the wind out of the sails of war, save countless lives, and perhaps even save humanity from a nuclear holocaust. Various rationales or excuses have been constructed for the Democrats' complicity in aggression that does not serve America. Perhaps the most popular rationale, says Paul Craig Roberts, is that the Democrats are letting the Republicans have all the rope they want with which to produce such a high disapproval rating that the Democrats will sweep the 2008 election. It is doubtful that the Democrats would assume that men as cunning as Karl Rove and Dick Cheney do not understand the electoral consequences of a low public approval rating and are walking blindly into an electoral wipeout. Rove's departure does not mean that no strategy is in place. So what does explain the complicity of the Democratic Party in a policy that the American public and especially Democratic constituencies reject? Perhaps a clue is offered from the Minneapolis-St. Paul Star Tribune News report of August 1st that Democratic Congressman Keith Ellison will spend a week in Israel on a, quote, privately funded trip sponsored by the American Israel Education Federation. The AIEF, the charitable arm of the American Israel Public Affairs Committee, is sending 19 members of Congress to meet with Israeli leaders. The group, made up mostly of freshman Democrats, has plans to meet with Israeli Prime Minister Ehud Olmert and puppet Palestinian President Mahmoud Abbas. The senior Democratic member on the trip is House Majority Leader Steny Hoyer, who has gone three times. The trip to Israel is Ellison's second as a congressman, unquote. According to the Star Tribune, a Republican group, which includes Representative Michelle Bachmann of Minnesota, led by Representative Eric Cantor of Virginia, is already in Israel. According to news reports, another 40 are following these two groups during the August recess, and, quote, by the time the year is out, every single member of Congress will have made their rounds in Israel, unquote. This claim is probably overstated, says Paul Craig Roberts, but it does show careful Israeli management of U.S. policy in the Middle East. Elsewhere on Earth, and especially among Muslims, the suspicion is rife that the reason the war against Iraq cannot end and the reason Iran and Syria must be attacked is that the United States must destroy all Muslim opposition to Israel's theft of Palestine, turning an entire people into refugees driven from their homes and from the lands in which they have lived for many centuries. Americans might think that they are merely grabbing control over oil, keeping it out of the hands of terrorists, but that is not the way the rest of the world views the conflict. Jimmy Carter was the last American president who stood up to Israel and demanded that U.S. diplomacy be, at least officially if not in practice, even-handed in its approach to Israel and Palestine. Since Carter's presidency, even-handedness has slowly drained from U.S. policy in the Middle East. The neoconservative Bush-Cheney regime has abandoned even the pretense of even-handedness. This is unfortunate because military coercion has proven to be unsuccessful. Exhausted from the conflict, the U.S. military, according to former Secretary of State and former Chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff Colin Powell, is quote-unquote nearly broken. Demoralized elite West Point graduates, says Paul Craig Roberts, are leaving the Army at the fastest clip in 30 years. Desertions are rapidly rising. A friend, a U.S. Marine officer who served in combat in Vietnam, recently wrote to me that his son's Marine unit, currently training for its third deployment to Iraq in September, is short 12 to 16 men in every platoon and expects to be hit with more AWOLs prior to deployment. Instead of reevaluating a failed policy, says Paul Craig Roberts, Bush's war czar, General Douglas Lute, has called for the reinstitution of the draft. General Lute doesn't see why Americans should not be returned to military servitude in order to save the Bush administration the embarrassment of having to correct a mistaken Middle East policy that commits the U.S. to more aggression and to debilitating long-term military conflict in the Middle East. It is difficult, says Paul Craig Roberts, to see how this policy serves any interest other than the very narrow one of the armaments industry. Apparently nothing can be done to change this disastrous policy until the Israel lobby comes to the realization that Israel's interest is not being served by the current policy of military coercion. That's what Paul Craig Roberts has to say today. And again, once more, we're seeing that this is coming from a gentleman who at one time was a part of the Republican establishment, at one time a part of the establishment of central banking, at one time a part of the establishment in regard to the Republican Party. Paul Craig Roberts wrote the Kemp-Roth bill. He was Assistant Secretary of the Treasury in the Reagan administration. He was the associate editor of the Wall Street Journal editorial page and a contributing editor to Bill Buckley's National Review. Folks, when you read through this guy's resume, it becomes abundantly clear that his past connections with all of these entities and his past connection with the Center for Strategic and International Studies at Georgetown His past connection with the Hoover Institute at Stanford and so forth and so on makes it abundantly clear that we are now seeing the real cracks in the dam, the cracks in the dike in regard to American foreign and military policy. And very, very clearly, Dr. Roberts understands that there is a connection here, a connection between the foreign policy of the United States and a domestic situation that involves economic Armageddon and that involves the institution of an American police state. The American Republic is in danger. The American Constitution is in danger. You and your family members and your friends are in danger. So for those of you who are getting hung up on baseball in this late summer, wondering who's going to be in the playoffs, wondering who's going to be in the World Series, those of you starting to get into the full swing of the National Football League's preseason games, those of you who are worried about what Entertainment Tonight is going to have on television, need to wake up. Folks, I believe that we are in the final times of world history. I believe that from the vantage point of Christian eschatology. But for those fine people out there who are listening to this broadcast who are not Christians and who are not acquainted with Christian eschatological positions historically, we can say without any trace of doubt that when Paul Craig Roberts, the former Assistant Secretary of the Treasury of the United States, is saying these things, and when we consider what David Walker, the Comptroller General of the United States, said a couple of days ago to the London Financial Times, it becomes abundantly clear that an overall Armageddon is coming. We are in trouble. It is time for us to wake up individually. It is time for us to wake up collectively. We must reclaim our destiny. We must reclaim our Congress. We must reclaim our news media. We must reclaim our economic institutions. We must reclaim what has happened to our entire culture, folks. Who's the culprit? The biggest culprit, not the sole culprit, but the biggest culprit is the Israeli lobby and the domestic Jewish lobby in the United States. Check it out. Who's behind this foreign policy catastrophe? Israel. Largely Israel. Yes, you can also make a case for the oil companies, but it seems to me that the driving force is world Zionism. Who is the most sinister force behind the move toward world government, dragging the United States into the various entities of world government? Check it out again. The New World Order is inextricably linked to the Israeli lobby. And who's behind these great catastrophes presently going on in our economy? You know, the front page of the Financial Times yesterday morning, which hit my doorstep during the radio show in my studio, is talking about the fact that funding fears hit financial shares. This whole business of these subprime mortgage situations and the way in which those have been packaged in bond packages and mutual funds packages that all kinds of large institutional investors have become a part of. Who has made those kinds of catastrophic mistakes in what was already a very evil, mismanaged central banking system? It becomes very clear who the main culprits are. It becomes very clear how exposed we are. It becomes very clear that the days of the old republic are gone, and the days that we have been afforded in reclaiming our republic are getting fewer and fewer and fewer. Folks, this is where it is, and I hope that you and I can do something about it in the days ahead. In this hour, before Father Martinez joins us and before Mark Glenn comes on the show, I would like to lay before all of you a very, very special request. The Republic Broadcasting Network needs you. The American Free Press needs you. Congressman Ron Paul's campaign for president needs you. Mark Dankoff's America needs you. All of the hosts who are on this network need you. And when I think about some of the fine people that I work with on a daily basis in regard to RBN Truth Radio, Mark Glenn and Hesham Talawi and Michael Collins Piper and Mark Anderson of AFP just come to mind immediately. All of these fellows are fighting on your behalf and mine. But folks, we all need resources. We all need encouragement of every conceivable description. Yes, it begins with financial help, and all of these various entities need it. But for those of you who do pray, we need prayer every day because we are dealing not simply with flesh and blood, according to the Apostle Paul, but with powers and with principalities and with spiritual wickedness in high places. Check it out. It's in the sixth chapter of the book of Ephesians. We'll be back. This is Mark Dankoff's America coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Father John Martinez joins us at 8 o'clock. Mark Glenn at 9. Stay tuned.
The ideology powering the Democrats and Republicans is not liberalism or conservatism, but globalism. Globalists are concerned with what's good for big business and the American empire instead of what's fair for the American people. The only antidote to the poison of globalism is nationalism. Start reading the Nationalist Times each month. The Nationalist Times promotes a common sense, intelligent, and passionate alternative to the reigning party line. Published monthly since 1985, the Nationalist Times is a 20-page newspaper featuring outstanding writers and columnists who don't believe in taboos or sacred cows. Be one of the many thousands of loyal readers of the Nationalist Times. Subscribe now to the Nationalist Times. Just $19 for 1 year. That's 50% off the regular price. Send your $19 subscription to the Nationalist Times, P.O. Box 426, Allison Park, PA 15101. That's the Nationalist Times, P.O. Box 426, Allison Park, PA 15101. Or subscribe online at our website, www.anu.org.
We've all considered solar power at one time or another, and self-sufficiency will be your key to a better future. Ken Solar can help you get off the grid and become self-sufficient with solar power, and for a lot less than you would think. One of Ken's most popular items right now is the new solar power generator for a lot less than you'd expect. This portable system can chop off nearly a third of your electric bill, a good start for any families out there wanting to get solar power for your home. Visit Ken's website at kensolar.com for free downloads, free videos, and how-tos, and of course, the new solar power generator. Use the coupon code RBN with your purchase and save an additional 10% off your order. Get a solar power generator now from kensolar.com at 239-677-3073. Again, that's 239-677-3073 or on the web at kensolar.com. Ken Solar, the home of all your solar needs.
Stand up and be counted. Catholic priest calls for Christians to resist Bush's impending unjust attack against Iran. George W. Bush lied to the world to get the backing of the American people to attack Iraq. Now he is lying to the world to get the backing of the American people to attack Iran. The Catholic and Protestant clergy have failed miserably to come out publicly against the upcoming unjust attack of Iran. Therefore, the lay Catholics and Protestants should demand of their respective clergies to take a righteous public stand against this upcoming Iranian unjust war. Each one of us will render to God a strict account of what each of us did to stop these diabolical tyrants, like George W. Bush, who, as roaring lions, go about the world seeking whom to murder. For additional facts concerning this upcoming Iranian unjust war, order the one-hour lecture by Father John Martinez entitled Stand Up and Be Counted. Just go to www.republicbroadcasting.org and click on the web banner for more information and ordering.
Mark Dankoff's America coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Father Martinez will be on with me at 8 o'clock this morning. Mark Glenn will be on at 9. We're taking a look at a couple of things today, including Paul Craig Roberts' warnings to the people of the United States that the present foreign policy of this country does not serve the interest of this country. In particular, it does not serve the true interest of Israel. It sure does not serve the true interest of the entire world. Who benefits? A handful of Zionist fanatics in the armaments industry? That would seem to be the implication of what Dr. Paul Craig Roberts has to say today at antiwar.com. You may remember that on Monday when Greg Felton was on the show from Vancouver, we were talking about Mearsheimer and Walt. For those of you not familiar with these gentlemen, John Mearsheimer, of course, is from the University of Chicago. And Stephen Walt is from Harvard. and they wrote something in the London Review of Books that was highly critical of the Israeli lobby. That has subsequently not simply caused controversy and consternation within the worldwide establishment that does support Zionism, but of course now Mearsheimer and Walt have put forth a book on public policy related to Israel that is causing even more consternation because it's about ready to come out. And of course Greg Felton was talking about the fact that the Council on Global Affairs up in Chicago, which I think is called the Chicago Council on Global Affairs, was working to keep Mearsheimer and Walt out of a public presentation that they were designated and slated to give there in Chicago related to this whole issue before the book was actually publicly released. And in that regard, Greg Felton was saying that Mearsheimer and Walt have opened up something that the Zionist lobby cannot put back in the can. Evidence of that, of what Greg was talking about, is to be found in the New York Times in a piece entitled Backlash Over Book on Policy for Israel. Patricia Cohen, C-O-H-E-N. Doesn't take too much to figure out what Patricia's background is, but she publishes something as of yesterday in the New York Times, August 16th. There's a photograph of Walt and Mearsheimer there, by the way. You can see what these gentlemen look like. And, of course, the caption says, authors of a new book on the Israeli lobby, Stephen Walt, left of Harvard, and John Mearsheimer, right of the University of Chicago. The title of the book, as Greg Felton was telling us on Monday, is The Israeli Lobby and U.S. Foreign Policy. It's not even in bookstores, says Pat Cohen of the New York Times, but already anxieties have surfaced about the backlash it is stirring, with several institutions backing away from holding events with the authors. And this is not Greg Felton talking at this point, folks. This is the New York Times. John J. Mearsheimer, a political scientist at the University of Chicago, and Stephen M. Walt, a professor at the John F. Kennedy School of Government at Harvard, were not totally surprised by the reaction to their work. An article last spring in the London Review of Books outlining their argument that a powerful pro-Israel lobby has a pernicious influence on American policy set off a firestorm as charges of anti-Semitism, shoddy scholarship, and censorship ricocheted among prominent academics, writers, policymakers, and advocates. In the book, published by Farrar, Strauss, and Giroux, and embargoed until September the 4th, they elaborate on and update their case. Quote, now that the Cold War is over, Israel has become a strategic liability for the United States, they write. Yet no aspiring politician is going to say so in public or even raise the possibility, unquote, because the pro-Israel lobby is so powerful. They credit the lobby with shutting down talks with Syria and with moderates in Iran, preventing the United States from condemning Israel's 2006 war in Lebanon, and with not pushing the Israelis hard enough to come to an agreement with the Palestinians. They also discuss Christian Zionists and the issue of dual loyalty. Opponents are prepared, says Pat Cohen of the New York Times, also being released on September the 4th, the same date as the release of the Mearsheimer-Walt book, folks, also being released on September 4th, according to the New York Times, is, quote, the deadliest lies, the Israel lobby and the myth of Jewish control, unquote, coming out with Palgrave Macmillan by none other than Abraham H. Foxman, the national director of the Anti-Defamation League. The notion that pro-Israel groups, quote, have anything like a uniform agenda and that U.S. policy on Israel and the Middle East is the result of their influence is simply wrong, unquote. George P. Shultz, a former Secretary of State under Ronald Reagan, says in the foreword, quote, this is a conspiracy theory pure and simple, and scholars at great universities should be ashamed to promulgate it, unquote. I'm going to editorialize at that point, folks. We're going to divert from the text of the New York Times and Pat Cohen's piece of yesterday simply to say that George P. Shultz is a liar, he's a crackpot, and he's denying what is abundantly obvious. This is a conspiracy theory, he says. Scholars at great universities should be ashamed to promulgate it. I would say that George P. Shultz ought to be ashamed that he can offer this kind of bunk to the American people and to the world. We'll be back. This is Mark Dankos, America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Father Martinez joins me at 8. Mark Lynn joins me at 9. Stay tuned.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
The ideology powering the Democrats and Republicans is not liberalism or conservatism, but globalism. Globalists are concerned with what's good for big business and the American empire instead of what's fair for the American people. The only antidote to the poison of globalism is nationalism. Start reading the Nationalist Times each month. The Nationalist Times promotes a common sense, intelligent, and passionate alternative to the reigning party line. Published monthly since 1985, the Nationalist Times is a 20-page newspaper featuring outstanding writers and columnists who don't believe in taboos or sacred cows. Be one of the many thousands of loyal readers of the Nationalist Times. Subscribe now to the Nationalist Times. Just $19 for 1 year. That's 50% off the regular price. Send your $19 subscription to the Nationalist Times, P.O. Box 426, Allison Park, PA 15101. That's the Nationalist Times, P.O. Box 426, Allison Park, PA 15101. Or subscribe online at our website, www.anu.org.
We've all considered solar power at one time or another, and self-sufficiency will be your key to a better future. Ken Solar can help you get off the grid and become self-sufficient with solar power, and for a lot less than you would think. One of Ken's most popular items right now is the new solar power generator, for a lot less than you'd expect. This portable system can chop off nearly a third of your electric bill, a good start for any families out there wanting to get solar power for your home. Visit Ken's website at kensolar.com for free downloads, free videos, and how-tos, and of course, the new solar power generator. Use the coupon code RBN with your purchase and save an additional 10% off your order. Get a solar power generator now from kensolar.com at 239-677-3073. Again, that's 239-677-3073 or on the web at kensolar.com. Ken Solar, the home of all your solar needs.
Stand up and be counted. Catholic priest calls for Christians to resist Bush's impending unjust attack against Iran. George W. Bush lied to the world to get the backing of the American people to attack Iraq. Now he is lying to the world to get the backing of the American people to attack Iran. The Catholic and Protestant clergy have failed miserably to come out publicly against the upcoming unjust attack of Iran. Therefore, the lay Catholics and Protestants should demand of their respective clergies to take a righteous public stand against this upcoming Iranian unjust war. Each one of us will render to God a strict account of what each of us did to stop these diabolical tyrants like George W. Bush, who, as roaring lions, go about the world seeking whom to murder. For additional facts concerning this upcoming Iranian unjust war, order the one-hour lecture by Father John Martinez entitled Stand Up and Be Counted. Just go to www.republicbroadcasting.org and click on the web banner for more information and ordering.
Mark Dancos, America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Father John Martinez will be on the show this morning at 8 o'clock. Mark Glenn will be on at 9. We've been taking a look at a couple of news stories today. Paul Craig Roberts talks at antiwar.com about the fact that both the United States and Israel suffer because of the present foreign policy of this country, as that is being dictated by these extremist elements in the Zionist community. Now we're taking a look at Patricia Cohen's article in the New York Times from yesterday entitled The Israel Lobby and U.S. Foreign Policy. You know, it's interesting, folks. George P. Schultz, the former Secretary of State, is in the foreword of Abe Foxman's book, the ADL chief's book. It's being released on the same day as the Mearsheimer-Walt report. Now, that's their book. Isn't that a real coincidence? He's saying that anybody who believes that the Israeli lobby has a uniform agenda and that U.S. policy on Israel and the Middle East is a result of their influence is simply wrong. It's a conspiracy theory. Scholars at great universities, according to George Shultz, should be ashamed to promulgate it, unquote. Folks, who is the sycophant here? I say that it's George Shultz. Who can believe that Mearsheimer of the University of Chicago and Walt, who teaches at the Kennedy Center of Government at Harvard, are involved in shoddy scholarship? Who says that they should be ashamed to promulgate what is obviously the truth? Let's ask George P. Shultz what Dr. Paul Craig Roberts told us earlier and what the listeners to this network already know about, and that's the fact that Israel attacked the USS Liberty on June the 8th, 1967, and that the American government has been covering it up ever since, first Lyndon Johnson and Robert McNamara, but a series of other people since. Why, Mr. Shultz? Why? And Richard Helms said that Israel did it deliberately. Admiral Moore says that they did it deliberately. Dean Rusk, who is one of Mr. Shultz's predecessors as Secretary of State, says that Israel did it deliberately and that it was a part of a larger picture. Are all of these guys crackpots, Mr. Shultz? Are they involved in weird conspiracy theories? Should they be ashamed for promulgating the truth? George P. Shultz, folks, is a front man, and so is Ronald Reagan. It pains me now to say that because I voted for Reagan twice. Reagan was a part of the larger picture when it comes to the Zionist lobby in this country. And George P. Shultz ought to be absolutely ashamed of himself for being party to what is clearly going on here with the release of Foxman's book on the very, very same day that the Mearsheimer-Walt book is being released. I have a prediction, folks. George P. Shultz doing this forward for Abe Foxman, it shows how desperate these guys are because they and the people that they're fronting for are getting worried. Worried that you and I are figuring out what's going on. Due to people like Michael Collins Piper and Mark Glenn and Dr. Paul Craig Roberts, among others. And as more people are figuring out what's going on, more folks are committed to not losing any more American lives in the Middle East because of Israel. More people are committed to reclaiming this country's culture and this country's economy from these jokers. More people want to recover our presidential races and our congressional races from the malignant, pernicious influence of less than 2% of the American population. That's the absolute truth, Mr. Shultz. You want to say we believe in a conspiracy theory? No, we believe in something that surely is conspiratorial, but it's absolutely based upon fact. Absolutely based upon fact. Anyone who looks at these Federal Election Commission statistics, anyone who listened to what was said to us, by the way, by the very, very interesting guest that I had on this show 2 days ago, would affirm that the so-called Christian media is very, very much involved in this conspiracy. Dale Crowley, who has been involved from Washington, D.C. for a period of many, many years in trying to expose the Israeli lobby. If you had an opportunity to listen to that show, folks, Dale Crowley said some very, very interesting things about Salem Communications and why they and a subsidiary of theirs wanted to make sure that Crowley's book did not get published, did not get sold, did not get distributed. What is the problem here? The problem is censorship. But, you know, I think Dale Crowley would be the first to say that he and I, Mark Dankoff, do not have the kind of power and influence to really get our position before the American public on a mass basis, true as our positions might happen to be. But now, folks, we have a guy named Mearsheimer, who is Jewish, writing from the University of Chicago, who is exposing these lies. We have a guy named Walt from the JFK Institute for Government at Harvard, who is Jewish, who is saying the same things that Dale Crowley and I are saying, the same things that Mike Piper and Mark Glenn are saying, and the same things that Father Martinez has been saying. Are we all wrong? Folks, the fact of the matter is that now that Mearsheimer and Walt have broken through the party line and are actually speaking some truth, Abe Foxman and the Anti-Defamation League and all the usual players in as frontmen for the larger elements of what is truly a conspiracy that is factual are pulling out every stop. Foxman's book is being released on the same day as Mearsheimer and Waltz, and he's dragged out the old tired figures to puppet the same line again, this time as George P. Shultz, the former Secretary of State, who once again is promoting the interest of Zionism and probably, and not so probably, but undoubtedly, the political and financial interest of George P. Shultz. That's how these guys operate. I'd like to ask Mr. Shultz publicly, how much money did you get or have you gotten from this lobby, directly or indirectly? Is your endorsement for sale, Mr. Shultz? Is that a conspiracy theory, or is that a fact? Let's continue with this article from Patricia Cohen from yesterday in the New York Times entitled, The Israel Lobby and U.S. Foreign Policy. She goes on to say that the subject, being that of the Israel lobby and their influence on the American foreign policy scene, will certainly prompt furious debate, though not at the Center for the Humanities or the Graduate Center at the City University of New York, the Chicago Council on Global Affairs, a Jewish cultural center in Washington, and three organizations in Chicago. They have all turned down or canceled events with the authors, mentioning unease with the controversy or the format. The authors were particularly disturbed by the Chicago Council's decision, since plans for that event were complete and both authors have frequently spoken there before. The two sent a four-page letter to 94 members of the council's board detailing what happened. Quote, on July 24th, Council President Marshall Boughton phoned one of us, Mearsheimer, and informed him that he was canceling the event, unquote, and that his decision, quote, was based on the need to, quote, unquote, protect the institution. Boughton said that he had a serious political problem because there were individuals who would be angry if he gave us a venue to speak, said Mearsheimer, and that this would have serious negative consequences for the council. This one is so hot, Marshall maintained, unquote. Mr. Mearsheimer later said of Mr. Boughton, quote, I had the sense that this phone call pained him deeply, unquote. Mr. Boughton was out of town, but Rachel Bronson, the vice president for programs and studies at the Chicago Council, said, quote, whenever we have topics that are particularly controversial or sensitive, we try to make sure someone from another point of view is there, unquote. I'll editorialize again. Cut me a break, Ms. Bronson. The fact of the matter is that uniformly, the Chicago Council for Global Affairs and the Trilateral Commission and the Council on Foreign Relations and all of the other usual suspects, including George P. Shultz, have been parroting only one point of view from this point, and that is the point of view of the Israeli lobby. Ms. Bronson, you have thousands upon thousands of front people doing the bidding of your ultimate backers every single day. You guys control the news media. You control the American educational institutions. You control the American National Security Establishment. You control the American National Security folks, in the main. So what is this nonsense about trying to make sure that someone from another point of view is there? You've got someone with another point of view, finally, Ms. Bronson, and it's Waltheimer, or Mearsheimer, and it's Walt. John Mearsheimer of the University of Chicago and Stephen Walt of Harvard are the first people out there, Ms. Bronson, that I'm aware of, who have finally brought before the Chicago Council on Global Affairs the other point of view. Patricia Cohen then goes on in this New York Times piece to say that in this case, she said, Ms. Bronson said, there was not sufficient time to set up that sort of panel before the council calendar went out. There are no plans to have the authors speak at a later date, however. Quote, one of the points we make in the book is that this is a subject that's very hard to talk about, Mr. Walt said in an interview from his office in Cambridge. Organizations, no matter how strong their commitment to free speech, don't want to schedule something that's likely to cause controversy, unquote. And according to Pat Cohen of the New York Times, after the cancellation, Roberta Rubin, owner of the bookstall, a store in Winnetka, Illinois, outside of Chicago, offered to help find a site for the authors. She said she tried a Jewish community center and two large downtown clubs, but they all told her that, quote, they can't afford to bring in somebody too controversial. Ms. Rubin added that she was even concerned about inviting authors who might offend customers. Some of the planned sites, says the New York Times, like the Sixth and I Historic Synagogue, a cultural center in Washington, would have been host of an event if Mr. Mearsheimer and Mr. Walt appeared with opponents, said Esther Foer, the executive director. Mr. Walt said, quote, Part of the game is to portray us as so extreme that we have to be balanced by someone from the other side. Besides, he added, when you're promoting a book, you want to present your ideas without appearing with someone who is trying to discredit you. As for City University, Iopion Sweeney, the director of the Center for the Humanities, said, quote, I looked at the introduction written by George Shultz, or the preamble, whatever, and I didn't feel that the book was saying things differently enough from the original article. Ms. Sweeney, who said she had consulted with others at City University, who are these others, Ms. Sweeney, acknowledged that they had begun planning for an event in September moderated by J.J. Goldberg, the editor of the Jewish Forward, a leading American Jewish weekly, but once he chose not to participate, she decided to pass. What are you afraid of, Mr. Goldberg? Mr. Goldberg, who was traveling in Israel, said in a telephone interview that, quote, there should be more of an open debate, unquote. But appearing alone with the authors would have given the impression that the Forward was presenting the event and thereby endorsing the book, he said, and he did not want to do that. That's nonsense, Mr. Goldberg. That does not follow at all. The New York Times continues, a discussion with other speakers of differing views would have been different, he added. Quote, I don't think the book is very good, said Mr. Goldberg, who said he read a copy of the manuscript about 6 weeks ago. Quote, they haven't really done original research. They haven't talked to the people who are being lobbied or those doing the lobbying, unquote. I bet you that that's bunk, Mr. Goldberg. The New York Times continues, overall, Mr. Mearsheimer said he thinks the response to their views will be, quote, less ferocious than last time because it's becoming increasingly difficult to make the argument in a convincing way that anyone who criticizes the lobby or Israel is an anti-Semite or a self-hating Jew, unquote. Both Mr. Mearsheimer and Mr. Walt pointed to the growing dissatisfaction with the war in Iraq, criticism of Israel's war in Lebanon, and the publication of former President Jimmy Carter's book, Palestine, Peace, Not Apartheid, is making it somewhat easier to criticize Israel openly. This isn't a cabal. This isn't a cabal. This isn't anything secretive, Mr. Walt said. American Jews who lobby on Israel's behalf are not all that different from the National Rifle Association, the anti-tax movement, AARP, or the American Petroleum Institute, he said, quote, they just happen to be really good at it, unquote. Quote, it's the way American politics work, he continued. Sometimes powerful interest groups get what they want, and it's not good for the country as a whole. I would say that about the farm lobby and about the Cuba lobby, unquote. To the authors, dual loyalty is as American as President's Day sales and Law and Order reruns. As Mr. Mearsheimer explained, quote, people are allowed to have multiple loyalties. They have religious loyalties, loyalty to family, to an organization, and you can have loyalty to other countries. Someone who is Irish can have a loyalty to Ireland, unquote. Well, Mr. Mearsheimer, I think about what Jesus Christ said about not being able to serve two masters. Anyway, we resume. The problem, he said, is when you raise the subject of dual loyalty, many people tend to think of it in the context of the old anti-Semitic canard and making the argument that Jews are disloyal to the United States, unquote. In print and in interviews, both authors have stressed that they hold no animus toward Israel or Jews. Quote, we think Israeli policy is fundamentally flawed, Mr. Mearsheimer said, just as we think American policy is fundamentally flawed. There you have it, folks. That's what Patricia Cohen brings before us yesterday in the New York Times. That's a piece entitled The Israel Lobby and U.S. Foreign Policy. And there's the evidence that, once again, Abe Foxman of the Anti-Defamation League is bringing his nonsense to the fore. He's having a book released by Palgrave Macmillan on September the 4th entitled The Deadliest Lies, The Israel Lobby and the Myth of Jewish Control, unquote. Well, Abe, let's tee it up with Mearsheimer and with Walt. Let's have all of you guys appearing in the same forum. Why not get you together? And also include a couple of other people like Paul Craig Roberts and Ron Paul. Wouldn't that be an interesting thing if we could get all of these people together for an honest, open, public debate about what is really going on with American foreign policy and the American domestic political scene? I would love to get Foxman up there with Mearsheimer and Walt, and then to have Paul Craig Roberts and Pat Buchanan and Ron Paul and Michael Collins Piper and Mark Glynn on one side, and then give the Israeli lobby their choice of the five or six people they would like to have representing their point of view, including the moribund George Shultz, if they would like to choose him. And let's thrash this thing out, folks. Let's have a free and fair and open debate, one that is sponsored by somebody out there that actually believes that the First Amendment matters, somebody that actually believes that ideas, no matter how unpopular, need to be examined. And, you know, when we get back to that point of view again, it is very, very clear that what Greg Felton said on this show Monday is true. The desperation is on the part of these lackeys for the pro-Israel, pro-Israeli lobby crowd. It is clear that they are the ones who do not want the debate. They are the ones who do not want the open forum. They are the ones who do not want their associations and money ties and academic argumentation scrutinized in the context of conversations with people on the other side who have all the credentials in the world. We'll be back. This is Mark Dankos, America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. We will be joined by Father Martinez in about 10 minutes. Mark Glenn will be up at home plate at 9 a.m. Stay tuned.
Attention, this is an RBN Financial News Bulletin. Have you ever wanted to get out of debt, maybe even make some of your debts disappear completely? If so, and you're an RBN listener, there is a very real chance you will be able to do it. Here is why. A new manual has just been published that reveals how you can get out of debt in 90 minutes without any loans or bankruptcy whatsoever. The insider secrets revealed allow you to get out of debt so fast and so completely that it makes some people feel like they're stealing, but they're not stealing. The secrets taught in the manual are 100% legal and 100% ethical. It's just that bankers, debt collectors, and credit card companies don't want you to know about these loopholes. Don't be a prisoner of debt. Go to outin90.com. That's www.outin90.com or call 877-327-0365. RBN listeners receive a free DVD with purchase.
We've all considered solar power at one time or another, and self-sufficiency will be your key to a better future. Ken Solar can help you get off the grid and become self-sufficient with solar power, and for a lot less than you would think. One of Ken's most popular items right now is the new solar power generator for a lot less than you'd expect. This portable system can chop off nearly a third of your electric bill, a good start for any families out there wanting to get solar power for your home. Visit Ken's website at kensolar.com for free downloads, free videos, and how-tos, and of course, the new solar power generator. Use the coupon code RBN with your purchase and save an additional 10% off your order. Get a solar power generator now from kensolar.com at 239-677-3073. Again, that's 239-677-3073 or on the web at kensolar.com. Ken Solar, the home of all your solar needs.
Stand up and be counted. Catholic priest calls for Christians to resist Bush's impending unjust attack against Iran. George W. Bush lied to the world to get the backing of the American people to attack Iraq. Now he is lying to the world to get the backing of the American people to attack Iran. The Catholic and Protestant clergy have failed miserably to come out publicly against the upcoming unjust attack of Iran. Therefore, the lay Catholics and Protestants should demand of their respective clergies to take a righteous public stand against this upcoming Iranian unjust war. Each one of us will render to God a strict account of what each of us did to stop these diabolical tyrants like George W. Bush, who, as roaring lions, go about the world seeking whom to murder. For additional facts concerning this upcoming Iranian unjust war, order the one-hour lecture by Father John Martinez entitled Stand Up and Be Counted. Just go to www.republicbroadcasting.org and click on the web banner for more information and ordering.
live from San Antonio, Texas on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Father John Martinez will be up with me at approximately 8 o'clock this morning Central Time. And then Mark Lynn will join me at 9 o'clock. We're going to have a conversation about all kinds of things going on. I have had one very fine listener who has contacted me to ask me to ask Father Martinez about a series of things that he and I could begin covering on Friday mornings. I will be talking to Father Martinez about that privately. I'm going to give him a call at his confidential telephone number sometime this week, and we're going to be laying out with him some of the ideas of this listener in regard to things that they are aware of, that Father Martinez knows about, that need to be discussed on this show. These are not things that you are going to hear about, folks, in conventional media for all of the obvious reasons. And I want to use Father John Martinez as an inside source on certain things that even I am not aware of in regard to my own theological and political past. So that's something of what is on tap for future appearances of Father John Martinez on this show. I'm going to ask you at this time to support the Republic Broadcasting Network. You can reach us at www.republicbroadcasting.org. You can give us a call at 1-800-724-2719. That's 1-800-724-2719. Folks, John Stadtmiller needs your help at the Republic Broadcasting Network. Chris Petrick needs your help at the American Free Press. You can contact those fine folks at 1-888-699-NEWS. That's 1-888-699-NEWS. Buy a subscription to AFP. Tell your friends about it. Buy their very fine books, which include offerings by Matthias Chang and Mark Lynn and Michael Collins Piper, among others. In this entire situation, just give them all the support that they need as well. Congressman Ron Paul needs us. If you go to Ron Paul 2008, he needs backing, folks, to continue doing what he's doing very, very effectively in these debates. And if we think that the Chicago Council on Global Affairs is trying to close off honest debate about what has been said by Mearsheimer and Walt, we think that that same process is being undertaken by certain publishing companies and media outlets, in fact, most of them. We need to see what is going on in terms of the control of the Israeli lobby of 99% of what is going on in both of the major American political parties when it comes to honest and fair debate about why we are really in Iraq and who is pushing the buttons and pulling the levers for that policy. Ron Paul is the only guy out there, folks, who is not bought and paid for. His position on Israel, his position on central banking, his position on the Central Reserve Board, his position on this whole business of the Federal Reserve Board and what they are involved with in regard to the expansion of money supply to destroy your currency at home at the same time that this policy is financing wars abroad, that perspective, as well as the cultural declination of this country, are all the issues that Ron Paul is running on. But the guy needs you, and the Republic Broadcasting Network needs you, and the American Free Press needs you. We need your financial support, folks. We need your prayers. We need your encouragement. We need you to help us network to find entirely new constituents to hear the truth while there is yet time. This is Mark Dankos, America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. We'll be back with Father Martinez at 8 and Mark Glenn at 9. Stay tuned.
With recent